I would ask you this morning, did you change? Would you answer yes or no? Who say I have changed? Well, you haven't. I think we have a problem. We change. Hopefully we do. And even if it's we are getting older and smarter and wiser, hopefully. We change. But on the other hand, change is also not something that's taken for granted or that we can take for granted. And today, as we continue our series in looking into how to become and how to be a follower of Jesus Christ, we will look a little bit deeper into that question, how do we really change? Change is not just something that happens automatically. There are certain things that do happen automatically. That's true. We do get older, and that will change certain things. But in order to change our behavior, in order to change our conduct, in order to change certain habits that we have, it takes a conscious effort. We all know what it takes. Like if you want to lose weight, we know that doesn't happen automatically. You know, we have to take steps. Very deliberate steps in order to tackle that. And those steps take willpower, they take support, they take motivation, that I need to know why I'm doing this. And the same is true for any kind of change that happens in my life. Change is a process. As we have talked about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, and as we have also highlighted, to become a follower of Jesus Christ also means that to become like Christ, that automatically means change. That God wants to work on my life in such a way that I am changing. And this morning we would like to look a little bit deeper into how that happens. But before we do that, we need to take a closer look into something else. When you or I and we at some point of time made the decision to follow Jesus, something else happened. The Bible calls that, as we may have heard this morning in our text, to be born again. We are born again. That's one of those typical phrases that the Bible uses to describe someone who enters into relationship with Jesus Christ. Commonly, we also use that to distinguish between different types of Christians. There are born-again Christians, and then there are the rest. Born-again, what does that actually mean? It's an important thing that we have to understand when we reflect on the idea of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. It is not just my decision that I make, that at some point of time I say, okay, I want to follow Jesus. There's more at stake. There's more happening. And again, one of the ways how the Bible describes this is to be born anew or born again. Something happened, and something is happening in me that is described with this process of being born again. Let's listen one more time to the text that we heard this morning. It's verse 23 out of 1 Peter 1. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. When you enter into relationship with Jesus Christ, you also enter into His life. And that kind of life is what the Bible describes an eternal life. A life that will not end, but also a life that is just different. It's lived in a different dimension, with a different focus. Life that is not just focused on the here and now and how I make it through the day. It is a life that has a whole different dimension to it. It is an eternal kind of life. And the Bible describes this kind of experience as being born again. Some of you may even recall that when you made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, that it was accompanied with a certain experience. something that you noticed happens in me, something that just changed in me, something that just gripped me and something was different. And that's exactly what the Bible tries to describe. There's something happening in me that I cannot describe, something bigger than I am, where God really changes me. Being born again. Living now with a new perspective. Something dramatic that changes in my mind and in my life. An early missionary of the church described it this way. It's the Apostle Paul. He says in Romans 12 similar things about the changes that happen in my life. He says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." The main way how we change when we become a Christian is that we change the way we think. It happens in my thinking, in my mind. A lot of what happens as a Christian, all the changes that happen, happen in my mind, in the way how I think, how I perceive things. And that is good for us to understand. The Bible has other words that are used, and we'll come to that in a moment. We find, for example, the word heart a lot. You know, that you change your heart. But we also know at the same vein, it's not about a heart transplant that we talk about. That we don't talk about that little pump that sits here right in the middle of my chest and is pumping heavily. That's not what we talk about. Well, we know what we mean. We talk about heart as something that is a core, something is at the center. But the main thing that happens in the way we change is the change of mind. The same missionary writes it differently to a different church group. He writes about the people who are not following Jesus Christ. And he says, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far, far from the life that God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their heart against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live in lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, God intervenes in our life and our thinking changes. A new perspective opens up. A new dimension is opening up that I have not considered before, that all of a sudden I'm interested in those things that Jesus says. And that alone, this process of awakening to that, is being born again. Where God is changing my outlook on life. And as I've mentioned, the Bible uses a word heart very often. And here is a little graphic that helps us a little bit better to understand what happens in our life when we become a Christian and how we normally function. It's a very simple graphic. It doesn't describe all the processes that are happening in my life. But it helps us to understand how we change and how we move forward as followers of Christ, how we become more like Him. So this is how we normally function as human beings. There is at the center the will. If you will, that's the command center of all that I do, where I make decisions, weigh out certain options, and then I make decisions. And many of my decisions don't involve this long process of weighing out things. Some of the decisions are made unconsciously, subconsciously. Because our brain would be entirely overloaded if we would have to think about every little decision that we make. Some of the things, like if danger is looming and I see a ball flying at me, I don't think, oh, a ball is falling at me, so what's going to be the best thing I'm going to do right now? No, we have automatic decisions that are just there, where the brain functions and we duck or try to get out of the way. But on the other hand, the heart and the will at the center is also where we do weigh options. Let's say we have to make larger decisions. We have to change jobs. And then we have to weigh out our options, the pluses, the minuses, the cost, the benefits. And then we come to a decision. That's what the Bible would call the heart, the will, where we make the major decisions. But we also are people who have thoughts. And thinking plays a big role in making decisions, because our thinking is the way how we weigh things out. Then there's feelings. We do have feelings. We feel a certain way. And sometimes feelings determine our decisions. How we feel about it. We even ask this question. So what do you feel about that? However, we have to know, I don't want to go too technical this morning, but we also have to know that feelings are always detached or attached to thinking. There is no thought that is, no feeling that's without thought. Feelings are not floating around somewhere and I have no control over them. That's not true. I can very well determine my feelings. It's by the way I think. And sometimes I need to retrain my thinking in terms of how I feel. And then there's my body. This is the power pack, if you will. This provides me with the strength that I need to live my life. I feed it, I care for it, because my body is that thing that helps me to function, to live. And that's why I have to take care of my body. The body is also the way how I do certain things habitually. That I learn to do, whether habits are forming. That's mainly resides in my body. And then there's also my social environment. Friends, family, people around me who also are influencing me in my decision making. So and then with all these influences, I will make constant decisions. Sometimes my body tells me I'm tired. I'm just worn out. So I make the decision to lay down and take a nap. Or there is feelings. I don't feel good. And then I make decisions, well, what can I do about how I feel? I might just withdraw and just, you know, be alone for a while just to sort out why I feel the way I feel. And so on. Those things speak to me. And as a person who is now not following Jesus Christ per se, our decisions and what we do will determine pretty much by all these dimensions. And the Bible talks about desires, that I am driven by my desires, what I really want. And those can be a combination of many things, what I've been used to, what I'm doing all the time, what is comfortable, how I grew up, certain habits that I form. That will always determine how I decide and what I do. That will lead to action. However, when I become a follower of Jesus Christ, something new happens. And this will be in this graph, where all of a sudden a new dimension enters my life. God's Word. All of a sudden there is another fifth dimension that speaks to me, that tells me something, where God speaks into my life through His Word. And that can be in different forms. His Word is a very huge thing. It describes many ways how God speaks. But to say that God speaks through His Word also means that His communication usually goes through my mind. When God speaks to me, it's through my thinking. I perceive that. I read something and I make sense out of that. Something happens and I need to process that. But the dimension is there. Something happens in my life and I see a different dimension. I'm not just seeing my body. I'm not seeing just the social environment in which I live. I don't just see my feelings. I see something else. God is speaking into my life. And that might describe the way how we function as Christians, that we now pay attention to that dimension, that besides all the other things that talk to me, I listen predominantly to God's Word. I listen to what He has to say. And that determines now how I make the decisions, how I move from there to actions that are determined by the will of God, His Word. Now, when we hear God's Word, it's now again a big word, then we usually know that we are confronted with something bigger. Something that God speaks to us. Like sitting here this morning, could be that something new is popping up in my mind. I say, oh, wow, there's a new insight. That's a new way how God speaks. And one word how we can describe that, or how the Bible describes this, is with, now we learn Greek together, the word kairos. And here's the next graph that shows us a little bit more about that. So when we encounter something that God is moving in my heart, something special happens. I know this is a special moment. This goes back to a text that we have in Mark chapter 1. It says this: when Jesus starts his public ministry, he starts it like this: the time promised by God has come at last. He announced the kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe in the good news. See, Jesus started his ministry with a very specific message. And he said, this is also a very specific time. The time has come. And the word that is used is just that word, kairos. It's a very specific moment. It's not time in terms of my long of extension of time from yesterday and today. It's this specific moment. A specific moment has come. The kingdom of God is here. And the question will be, what do I have to do? If God comes, if he shows up, if he announces that he is here and he wants invites us into his action, then our question is what I need to do about this? How do I answer this? And Jesus gives us two ways how we can answer. If something special happens, if he speaks into life, we first need to repent. A special moment is here. Now repent. Now when we talk about repentance, we usually have those ideas of repentance is really crying and wailing and ooh, and the word is, and it can be part of that. Don't get me wrong. But it's way more brainy than that, if you will. It has not so much to do with our feelings. Repentance is actually means change your mind, change your thinking, change your direction. Remember that graph that I had before, picture that we had before, when God comes into the picture and I listen to him? Repenting means now that I turn my attention to this word of God. That I turn my attention to what he has to say. That is what we be repenting. I turn away from what I usually go to, what I usually listen to, and I turn my attention to the things that God is saying. Repenting. I listen to him. I listen to his word. And kairos is a moment that somehow gets my attention. There are not always big moments, sometimes it's smaller moments. Let's say you just read your Bible. And all of a sudden, a word, a phrase jumps out of you. And what we learn as followers of Jesus Christ is not to miss those moments and not just say, oh, whatever, you know, and then move on. We stop. We say, wow, that catches my attention. Why? What is it that God wants to tell me? But then there's also bigger things that happen. Some tragedy happens. Something happens in maybe my life or in the life of other people that all of a sudden makes me stop and think, wow, life is short. Life can throw us curveballs. Life can be difficult. And all of a sudden I'm forced to stop and say, wow, why is that happening? What am I supposed to learn from that? Why is this getting my attention? So anytime we come to those moments where we hear God speaking into my life, we are invited to repent, to stop, and to listen. And that is something we need to learn. It's a process. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we have our eyes and our ears and our heart in tune with what God is doing around us. And that is a learning process. It is going through life with this new perspective and say, God speaks. He is real. He is alive. And I want to walk through my life and through my daily life with these open ears and eyes and to perceive what he is saying. And not run by it and miss it. God is alive in your life. Do you believe that? God is walking with you into your school, into your work, at home, in your kitchen. God is there. And if you read the Bible carefully, how Jesus met people, he usually met people not in the synagogue, in church. He met them while they were doing their jobs. How did he call his disciples? While they were doing their jobs. He was there, right in there, while they were doing their day-to-day routine. Jesus was there and spoke to him. However, in our head, sometimes we compartmentalize. We say, oh, now I'm at church here this morning. God, please speak to me. And don't get me wrong, I pray that God will. But he's also, at the same time, in the same way, present when you go to work tomorrow morning. When you're in your office, when you drive your car, he is there. He is with you. And he wants to speak to you. He wants to get your attention. And you see, there are stories in the Bible how that happens when somebody who was very smart comes to Jesus and says, when Jesus talked about what we're supposed to do, that we're supposed to love our neighbor as yourself, he has a very smart question. Now, who is my neighbor? I mean, come on. I meet hundreds of people every day. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells this interesting story of this guy who walks from Jericho to Jerusalem and is beaten up and is left half dead there at the side of the road. And people walk by them, look at him, oh, whoa, I'm busy, you know, I have no time. And even those pastors walk by and the priests walk by. And then the Samaritan stops. He interrupts his plan, his journey. And he says, well, I'll help this guy. And then Jesus asks the question again, but with a little twist. Who do you think are you a neighbor to? Or was this Samaritan a neighbor to? The question is not who is my neighbor. The question is who are you a neighbor to? Who do you meet where God meets you? Where you need to have Kairos moments. Where God is speaking to you. Where you stop, where you need to think. So this is part of how we process when God really comes into our lives and how we speak and when he speaks. But then comes a very important second part that we often forget, because we then usually go back to business. Oh, yeah, I got that one. No, let's go back to business. Forget the second half of that, which is believe. Believe in the New Testament sense is an active word. It's not just holding some truth that they are right. And that I just trust that they are right, that Jesus is truly the Son of God, that God is Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, is all good truth. And I also believe them, but believing in the Bible has more an active role where I act because I trust. I put my trust in him, and because I trust what he has to say, I act. The best way of describing is what the disciples experienced. When Jesus entered their life again, while they were working, he stepped to them and says, you know, they were cleaning their nets, it was the middle of the day, and he said to them, go out, throw out your nets and fish. And the disciples had a choice to make. Either he is not right in his mind because he has no clue, because it's the middle of the day, he has no idea what fishing is all about, so why am I supposed to go out and fish? Or we say, okay, we trust you that you're right, and we just step in our boats, do what you say, and see what happens. That was faith. They had no guarantees. They just had his word. They had his command. So they stepped out and did, and guess what? He was right. See, this is believing. When we step out and do what God tells us to do, when we just trust that he is right, even if it sometimes doesn't make sense to me. But we trust in him, that he has the right answer and that he knows what we need to do. But this is also where it becomes critical. Because this challenges us to step out and change. It is helpful to do this step not alone. If you are like me, you have 1,000 excuses why you're not doing what you actually wanted to do. There's always something coming up. But if somebody is in my life who holds me accountable and says, okay, you said you want to do this, it puts a different dimension there. That's why discipleship happens in community. God places us in community. Remember how we highlighted that several weeks ago? God did not just call one, he called 12. Those 12 lived together, did life together, because in community you learn to hold each other accountable and to grow together, to learn from one another, to walk with one another. Jesus wants us to learn and to become more like Him. And this is a way how He does that. That we learn to stop at moments when He speaks. That we learn to process them and just think about them. That we may even discuss them with somebody else who is more advanced in our walk with God and say, hey, you know, this happened to me. What do you think I need to do about this? What do you think God is telling me? And then go to the next step and say, this is what I need to do. Now, here's something very important, I think, that we need to learn and to take to heart. We do not change because we make experiences. Experiences, as hard as they may be, will not change necessarily our behavior. As soon as some of the things are over and the sharpness of some of events are over, we go back to our good old routine. And this is a lesson to be learned, that change is not something that happens accidentally. It is something that I am actively engaged in, where I actively seek the face of God and say, God, I need to change. My character needs to change. And any one of us who tries to change knows this is a hard process. If you want to lose weight, you know that's a hard process. If you want to play piano, you know that's a hard process. Because you have to start taking lessons, you have to learn, you have to get your fingers moving in the right direction and hitting the right notes, you have to learn to read notes, and you have to find the notes on the piano. It's a process. And the same is true for us when we become followers of Jesus Christ. We engage in a process of change, where we open ourselves up to God's Word and His will, and where we submit to His will and say, God, whatever You say, I want to do. I want to learn. And what the Bible often describes it as, to lay off our old person like old clothes and put on a new person. And that's literally what often that means. To lay off old habits. To lay off old things that I have done. Now, to make it clear for us as well, you know, there's certain things that we have learned over the years in our lives before we become followers of Jesus Christ. Certain ways how to react. Certain ways how to deal with conflict. Whether we are dealing even with how we approach life. We have learned that. We have learned that through our parents, through the way how we grew up. And not all of our habits are good. Some are not really reflecting the way how God would like us to live life. For example, that Jesus tells us, you know, you should not have fear. But we can grow up in an environment that makes us a very fearful person. Because maybe by parents or grandparents were very fearful people, had fear of the world, it was all dark, it was all dangerous out there, don't venture out, something could happen. And you live in this kind of environment and you drink it in. This is how you live. And you also approach life the same way. And now as you follow Jesus, you have to learn how to undo this. To look at this world not just as a world that is just full of danger, but also a world that is inhabited by the presence of Almighty God. That He is alive, that He knows your future, that He is walking with you, that He's going with you, and have to relearn to live with this kind of Father and enter into this world with this kind of Father. Jesus tells a story in one of His famous speeches. And He says to His followers, look at the birds in the sky. They don't care about anything, but they fly around and God feeds them. And then He said, look at the flowers on the field. They're beautiful, they're wonderful, but they live for a day and tomorrow they are dry and they're thrown into the fire. And God cares for them. And then I said, are you not way more than them? You are precious to the Father. He cares for you. Why wouldn't He care for you? So we can read these words and say, oh yeah, they're really good. They really speak to my heart. And then we go out and say, and worry again. And start worrying about this and worrying about that. And then we read the text again and say, oh yeah, this is good. This is really good. But here's my life, you know, I have to worry about all of this. Isn't that how we usually live? And it takes a process to learn to live with the reality of a living Father who cares for my life. And that sometimes I need to learn from moment to moment. And here is the way of doing it. Repenting. Laying off old habits of old ways of thinking. Grabbing new ways of looking into this world and say, this is my Father's world. He walks before me into my day. And before I even step out of my bed, He is already there. Walks with me through this day. He knows what happens today at my workplace, on my way to work. And yes, even when unpleasant things happen, He's still there. He's still God. He's still holding my hand. He's still facing those challenges together with me. And I can tell you, if I wouldn't have and we wouldn't have that confirmation in our heart, we would be desperate. If we couldn't have faced God with confidence, even in dark times, and to hold on to Him, even if things don't make sense. God knows your life. God knows your challenges. God knows what you are facing. God knows your fears. God knows your boss. God knows your neighbors. God knows your family. And He's walking with you. And what He wants you to do is to learn to walk with Him, to listen to His voice, to trust His command, to repent from those old ways of reacting and learn to move into a world where I add on those ways of doing things how He wants me to do, to believe, to trust in Him. That's how we change. And church is a good way of practicing that. As we are together as people of God in smaller groups or wherever we are getting together, that's where we practice these things, where we hold each other accountable. But my question to you this morning is this. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you entered into this relationship with Him where at some point of time you said, God, yes, I really want to model my life after Jesus? And if you have done that, my next question to you would be, are you in this process of changing with Him? Is this a living interaction with your Father in heaven? Have you learned to listen to His voice, to those kairos moments that may happen? How about learning this week? As we go into this week, just pray that God says, God, please open my ears and my eyes that I don't miss those moments where You speak to me. And let me learn to stop and to reflect and to pray and to think about it. What are You telling me, God? And maybe God also invites you to say, maybe I need to pray about people that I can journey together with who help me to walk this walk with God and do this intentionally with them, process with them, and then take steps where I need to change. Is there anything in your life where you need to change? Where you know I need to tackle that? Let's pray. Father, thank You that You are so deeply interested in us that You don't want us to stay where we are. You want to change us. You want to make out of us those people who flourish under Your reign, flourish in Your kingdom. You came to give us full life, life in all its fullness. But this is also a gift that we have to unwrap, a gift that we need to cherish and learn to cherish, something where we need to learn to lay off old habits and put on new ones and learn to walk in faith and in trust in Your word, where we learn to face life and the challenges of life with this perspective. Where we even find strength to go through the most adverse circumstances of life, trusting that You walk with us, that You are greater, and that Your plans for us are good. God, You use everything in our lives to change us. Nothing is wasted. No hurts, no pains, and no blessings. Thank You that You are so good to us. That you want to make out of us people who really reflect You. Help us to stay in this process. And as we enter into this new week, I pray that You will hold our hands, open our eyes, open our ears. Let us see those opportunities where you want to get our attention. Learn to maximize on those moments and come to those answers to those questions. What do you want me to do? Help us, God, and we pray that you will show yourself in a mighty way as we walk this way through this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.